And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Aggie Nation. Did they shut the blinds? I thought it was raining. Now we can't even see outside. We don't know what's going on. It was going to rain, and then it didn't rain, and then it did rain for like 4 seconds, and then it didn't rain. I don't know.
I think it kind of depended on where in town you were at the point.
Well, we got hosed here at the Eagles, all I'm saying.
I was going to say it rained over where I get off on the highway. It rained there pretty good.
Yeah.
You could tell just by the accumulated water. So some places got it. We got it yesterday at my house, which was good.
Yeah, so there you go. It's maybe going to rain somewhere. Maybe it's not done. I don't know what's going on out there.
Well, and you got tomorrow, too, from what I've heard.
It could rain tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't like that.
You know, like 2 days in a row?
Nah, at least every other day at most. So welcome to the show, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Auburn Bloom, Richard Kroom. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Lots of great shows coming in. Get all the information on tickets and all that good stuff. MSEOpus.org. You can give us a call, 693-1150, or you can text us, 229-1939. I got to get fired up again here in a little bit, but I'm in a good mood to start today.
Are you in a good mood? Okay.
Yeah.
Annoyance.
And I don't know if you got to see it last night or you were following along, but my question to the world, why would you pitch to Carlos Correa in that situation? It seems idiotic.
Wanted the game to end. You know, it was getting late.
Laying in bed watching this thing, and I was texting friends that were still watching it, and I said, sure, they're not going to pitch to Correa. I mean, of all people. But they did, and then that's how you lose games. That's why the Rays are 2-10 in extra innings games this year, maybe. Because you should probably walk Carlos Correa and face Jed Lowry. Now, having said that, Lowry, I think he got on the time before or whatever, but I would take my chances with Lowry over Correa. But they didn't, and Stros win again. Stros win again, Kroom. Someone texted Louis' show talking about the AL West race because the Rangers to play like the Angels like 50 more times and the Astros like 15 more times. So they still can make – I don't know. Can you control your own destiny in baseball? I mean, I guess technically they sort of do. They play all the teams ahead of them. I think they're four back of the Astros.
They have 15 more games with the Rangers. Seem like they've already played four series this year.
The Texans says they play the Angels seven times and the Astros four.
Yeah, there you go. See, so that's not that many.
No, wait, it's seven each. Seven each. They're four games back, and they play both teams seven times each. So there you go. The Rangers making moves, Kroom. But seriously, why would you pitch to Carlos Correa? I just couldn't believe it. I was sitting there watching it, going, what are they doing? They're going to lose the game here. And the Rays needed to win. It's not like they're...
Yeah, it's not like they're out of it.
Yeah,
want to go home.
Yeah, they're in the mix for the wild card, and they might have wanted to go home, but they still have another game today, so they can't leave anyway. So, I mean, if you're going to stay in Houston, you might as well win, but... Well,
maybe they had some plans out...
I guess.
Out in Houston.
I don't know what they were
doing.
And
they're afraid everything closed down for
it. I was just watching it going... And I'm not a huge baseball X's and O's or whatever you even call it in baseball guy. I mean, I guess you could call it X's and O's. You know, the shifts and all. I don't know all about all that stuff.
If someone's coming up to bat, though,
I'm not going to go, oh, this guy's batting, you know, need to shift the infield. Or, you know, I don't know all that. But I wouldn't pitch to Carlos Correa with first base open in extra innings, that's for sure. But anyway, I was also trying to figure out last night when we have to pay Carlos Correa, and that's...
It's going to be a lot.
That's coming up. It's going to be quite a bit. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of money. But probably deserves it. He seems like he's pretty good. So...
Well, as bad as the Astros were for so many years, they ought to have some money saved up.
Yeah. Well, it's just the, like, nervous Astros fan in me is, like, convinced we're going to screw it up somehow. But he, according to Jeff, who apparently looked all this stuff up because of Chris Bryant with the Cubs, he says that we can't lose him for, like, a few years at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've got this is only his first year playing.
We're going to have to pay him a lot more, probably, than the $500,000 he's making this year. Well, it'll be interesting to see who has a bigger raise, Carlos Correa from this year to his next contract, or Andrew Luck from his current contract to his next contract.
Probably Correa, because...
I don't know. That's
Luck's got to be making some pretty good money right now.
No, he's still on his rookie deal.
Which, yeah, but his had to be pretty good being the...
Number one pick? It still wasn't much. Yeah, so...
Well, then I'm going to go Luck.
Yeah, I'm trying to... I don't know how much Andrew Luck is making this year. Let's see. Average annual salary, $5 million right now.
For Luck?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a lot higher than that. I don't know.
What's Eli Manning asking for?
Oh, he wants to be the highest paid quarterback in the game. For? I don't know, like $1 billion. No, I think
what's
Aaron
funny
Rodgers,
is Wilson wants to be the highest paid, too. So
I think Aaron Rodgers leads the market at like 22 mil per.
And he should.
Yeah, they talked down Russell Wilson a little bit, even though he still got paid a lot. They talked him down a little bit from his, I think. Anyway, so we got that going on. Carlos Correa is going to be rich soon. A lot richer than I'll ever be or can even imagine being. But it was fun. Get the little Astro. Got the
hey,
rally
Astro fans
flag.
Don't care how much they pay them. Just pay them, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not coming out of my check. Hey, I bought a jersey, so some of it's my money going to him.
A Correa jersey?
No, just an Astro jersey. So a very, no very names. Small percentage. No, I don't do the name thing.
Yeah.
Especially not for a guy who's 11 years younger than me. Yeah. I guess he's 10 years younger than me. But that's... And I'm only 30. It's ridiculous. But hopefully he doesn't turn 21 and become a party animal and, you know... I'll go downhill. I don't think he's that kind of guy.
He seems to have his head on straight.
All right. Serious news. Have you been following this story out of Waco, by the way? I don't know exactly what they're calling it. I don't want to misrepresent this here. The trial, basically, and the Texas Monthly did a really good story on it today. As far as the... You know, the ins and outs, the specifics of the trial. But essentially, Baylor has a player who's facing a rape charge, and they've kept it out of the press. No one knew it until yesterday or until this week because the jury selection started at the trial or whatever. And so...
Who's the player?
I can't pronounce his name. He's a defensive end. It's... Ukwachu is my guess. He was a Boise State transfer. Anyway, some of the details in the Texas Monthly thing, frankly, one, are horrifying. This is not like a light matter at all. But it's a little bit – the reason it's making the news is, one, Baylor essentially kept this out of the press, and the coaches have been referencing – You know, last year they wouldn't really say why he wasn't eligible right away. They tried to get a one-year waiver for him in 2013 when he transferred from Boise and couldn't. And one of the reasons they couldn't, that gets revealed in the story by the Texas Monthly, Boise didn't support it. You know, to get a one-year waiver, you have to have the support of the previous school, and Boise didn't support the waiver. So that was one reason why they didn't get it. So he didn't play in 2013, which is when this supposedly happened. But then he didn't play last year. They were calling it personal reasons, and they never went into it. But because he had been indicted in this case, and the legal process was playing out, and then as recently, and again, this is all according to the Texas Monthly article, as recently as this spring, Phil Bennett was saying at a you know one of those coaches' night type of things that they were expecting him back this fall. So it's an interesting story, and then so no one had really heard the whole thing. Until really this week, it came out, I think it was Deadspin did the first story on it, and then now a lot of people have picked it up, the Texas Monthly picked it up, but it looks like, again, we'll see, but the details are not good for Baylor, because it looks like the coaches at least knew something, and were trying to keep it under wraps, keep him on the team, and all that kind of stuff, but like I said, it's a, I hate to even call it interesting, but it's something that it's a real serious case coming up out of Waco involving a Baylor player that no one even knew was really going on, Kroom. I mean, like I said, a lot of people haven't even heard of it still.
Well, the big thing is, well, one is them if they're hiding it, you know, or trying to keep it under wraps, that's not good. But also just the whole situation, whether it's a Baylor football player or not, is
right. It's not a good situation anyway.
It's the thing that we should center on.
Yeah, but it, like I said, it's we'll see how it shakes out for everybody involved. But yeah, it's a real horrible story. The details and the full story of it are just horrifying. And if true, it's incredulous that he would be allowed to stay on a team. So we'll see how it all kind of shakes out. But if you haven't been following that, it's going to be something that the story keeps getting bigger and bigger, and you'll be hearing about it pretty soon, I imagine. Let's go to our first break, Kroom, and then when we come back, we get fired up. The Football Writers Association of America put out their 75th anniversary all-time All-Americans list.
See, and the annoyance is going to come back for you.
Well, it's not even – you're an old-timer relative to me. Now, you're not an old-timer compared to some of these folks.
I know. There's a few names on this list that I don't recognize.
But you're an old-timer. Maybe you can tell me why I'm wrong here. But I got a few just straight away bones to pick with this thing. So what about those when we come back?
Go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to go to break. We're going to go to break. We'll come back and we'll do it. Hit us up, 229-1939, and we'll come back. We'll talk about it. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Copy Bridge is an Aggieland tradition, serving their mouth-watering food for over 20 years to the folks of the Brazos Valley. And they want to invite you to enjoy a burger that you've come to know and love, which has been named Best of the Brazos for over a decade. And enjoy their award-winning goodness with $1.75 drafts all day, every Wednesday at both locations. Copy Bridge, serving Aggieland the best big burger in town for over two decades on Harvey and Welburn, both in College Station.
Sweating through another barn burner at your team's bar?
Sure am.
Wish you had some ice-cold refreshment?
You bet.
Then Coors Light may be right for you. Could result in meeting new people, epic fist bumps, epic forearm bumps, epic or chest bumps, touchdown dancing, breakdancing, line dancing, dancing like nobody's watching, awesome refreshment, refreshment for the win, and one-of-a-kind Rocky Mountain cold refreshment. Ask your bartender for Coors Light today.
Definitely.
When cold refreshment calls, Coors Light answers. Frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Green Teams welcomes the Texas A&M University Construction Science Department to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Texas A&M's Construction Science Department uses Green Teams for interior landscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals for events like weddings and conferences. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior landscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Hargrove Insurance, Terry Ruffino, Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, and Atkinson Toyota in Bryan and Madisonville.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Texans are teaming up to reduce teen pregnancy.
We're teaming up by starting the conversation.
We're teaming up to educate our community.
We're teaming up to mobilize a coalition.
When it comes to reducing teen pregnancy in our communities,
we're teaming up to make a difference.
OurTownForTeens.org is helping communities all over Texas reduce teen pregnancy by putting the resources you need at your fingertips. OurTownForTeens.org. Team up. We can do this.
On Sports Talk, Chip and Krista discuss Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux's surprise wedding.
I don't know if Justin hangs out with the same crowd that Jennifer does. That could be a problem in the future. Mm-hmm. What does Justin do?
I don't know. Isn't he an actor?
No, I think he's a gaffer. I don't know. I have no idea what he does. No clue.
I don't know.
I think it's going to last forever, though.
Sports Talk, tying the knot of truth tighter and tighter. Weekdays from 4 to 6 on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
You don't know what you do till you put under pressure. Across 110th Street is a hell of a test stop. Across 110th Street.
Eagle.
You can find it all in the street.
Off Bloom, which is Bloom.
Crew, we're getting a little bit excited. Tomorrow we got a Brian scrimmage, which I got to go to figure out about the team.
Figure out who's who?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been diving in on the research. I got like a week and a half of Brian crash course thing to do to get up to speed before the first game next Friday. Also, Saturday I'm going to go to the Blinn game over in Brenham just because I have nothing better to do. So me and a friend are going to go tailgate the Blinn game. They're playing some team that just got a head coach a couple weeks ago, so that's probably going to end well. So I'm in a pretty good mood, crew. Weekend's getting close. It's our last weekend without football because, like I said, next weekend high school starts, so we're getting there. But I got a little fired up today on the Football Writers Association. It's the 75th anniversary All-American, all-time All-American team. Okay, and let me preface this.
Football Writers Association.
Yeah, of America.
Of America.
Let me preface this by saying the guy that was in the head of this committee was Kirk Bowles, who I think is a tremendous writer. Great guy. Every time I've been around him, always good. Knows his stuff. And also, putting things like this together are incredibly difficult because you're comparing guys across eras. You're comparing, you know, do you go by one great year or if they were just pretty good for all 4 years? How do you weigh those sort of things?
Well, in this case, you better have been good for a few years.
Well,
when you're talking over 75
right.
years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All that goes into it. I got two beefs right away. And my first one is there's no way Roger Staubach is the best college quarterback of the last 75 years. It's just not.
So who are you going to put in there? You going to put the guys that they've got behind him? I wouldn't.
The guys they've got behind
them are Tebow and Tommy Frazier from Nebraska.
Now, I would have no problem with Tommy Frazier as the best quarterback of all time. I mean, again, we're not actually playing the game, so you can make the case that he was more of a runner, could even throw, didn't make it in the league, and all that kind of stuff. But
well, he was perfect for
but
what
as
Nebraska
a college
did.
Football player, he was as good as you get. I have no problem with Tebow on the second team, even though I joked around on Twitter earlier. I was joking around with the whole thing, but I honestly, personally, if you said today, would you rather have 2008 Tim Tebow or 2005 Vince Young? I'd rather have Vince Young. I think he was a better player than Tebow. But at the same time, I also think 2012 Johnny Manziel was better than that. So, again, you're comparing single years here. But the thing about Staubach is I know that there can be good players on bad teams, but his record as a starter, 17-13-1. He averaged 7.7 yards per pass attempt and 1.8 yards per carry. And over his career, had 18 touchdowns and 20 interceptions, Kroom.
Those aren't the greatest numbers, are
No, they? They're horrible numbers. In fact, Mike Finger from the Express News today, he got on a whole Twitter thing comparing Staubach's numbers to Tyrone Swoops, the current Texas quarterback,
yeah.
who is 6.1 yards per pass, 2.4 yards
I will be honest with you, and then Staubach at the Navy is a little before my time.
Yeah.
And I always thought that I'd always heard and thought Staubach was a much better pro than he was a college player. And,
sure.
And not that he wasn't a good college player, obviously, but that he was even better pro. I'm having trouble thinking who I would put there, but...
Tebow would be fine. If someone says Tim Tebow is the greatest college player of all time or greatest college quarterback of all time, I kind of go like...
You have no problem
with
that?
But he did have a good career. I mean... Got the Heisman, won a national title. He checked off all the boxes you got to check off. I have no problem with him. Frankly, I have no problem, though, if someone said that Vince Young was the best college quarterback of all time. I have no problem with that either. It's just not Roger Staubach. It could be several other people.
See,
Tommy
Frazier.
I would
go Tebow before Young because he was better for – I mean, Young had the – If you put the years together, Young had the best year.
Well, his 04 year was pretty good, too, though. The year they won the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
that's one of the best games I've ever seen was his game in the Rose Bowl. He was unbelievable in that one. But, again, I have no problem with Tebow. I have no problem with Young. I would have no problem with Frazier.
You have a problem with Staubach.
Yeah, I have a problem with Staubach. Then the other one, and, again, I hesitated to talk about this because I didn't want to sound like a longhorn Homer Kroom.
Homer?
But, yeah, but the because I'm clearly not. I mean, everyone that I make fun of Texas, you know, as much as anyone does and all this kind of stuff. But the you can't tell me there's six running backs better than either. And this is why I'm giving you a choice here. If you're a stats guy, you love the production, you love the big numbers, there aren't six college players better than Ricky Williams. And if you love the mojo, what he meant to the program, what he was able to do, and all of the history, then there's not six guys better than Earl Campbell. One of those two should be on the list.
Yeah, but you got to admit that if you put one of those two on the list, you're knocking one hell of a player off.
Yeah, I've got one to knock off. Herschel Walker. Overrated.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Look at his stats, Kroom. I did this earlier. Herschel Walker, it just doesn't... And I know that Herschel was Herschel and all this kind of stuff, but they just don't stack up. I mean, his legend is bigger than his actual production was... in college. It's just all that's all there is to it.
I don't know. We'll name the others. The others are Archie Griffin, who you got to give. You won two Heisman.
Sure.
Walker on the first team. Dorsett and Sanders on the second team. Bo Jackson, Doak Walker on the third team.
Yeah, and then Doak Walker is the one who, you know, that's because he's out of his era.
You know, in college, up until 10 years ago, It was about the running back.
Yeah.
So there are going to be tons of running backs. There's, you know, I mean, if you're living somewhere else, you're probably naming a few other guys besides Earl Campbell and
yeah,
them
maybe.
as being left off.
I'll admit it.
But
Earl,
like I said, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to take Barry Sanders off this list. Tony
no,
Dorsett
like I said, to me,
list.
The one Herschel Walker is the one that I think is a little bit. That gets a little too much credit. His career yards per carry, 5.3, which is good. But compare that to Ricky Williams, who's... I'm going to get his numbers mixed up here, so let me make sure I have the right ones. I just don't...
But was it all about numbers?
No, a lot of it might have been about
impact.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Impact into the game
for that
university.
Right, so that's why I gave you two choices.
Yeah.
Either Earl's got to be on there or Ricky's got to be on there.
But you got to... I mean, even now, when people think Georgia, you think Herschel Walker.
When people think Texas, a lot of people think Earl Campbell from the older generation. And I admit that my Earl knowledge is not as good as it is about Ricky Williams.
Maybe the problem there is they counter. You know, it's like, you know, the old, you know, if you have a couple guys on a really good team and you're worried about winning the Heisman, that they might take votes from each other type thing. Maybe a little bit of that went on as to why one of those didn't get in.
All right, Herschel Walker's career. 5,259 yards rushing, 5.3 yards per carry, 49 touchdowns. Ricky Williams.
He did that in 3 years, didn't
he?
Yeah,
he did it in 3 years. Ricky Williams, 6,279 yards rushing, 6.2 yards per carry, 72 touchdowns. Kroom.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a juggernaut. So I just don't. And my whole thing is, I think sometimes, and especially with the older players, everything they've done since overshadows who they were when they were in college. I think Staubach in the positive, Ricky, I think, in the negative. He became a dope-smoking crazy
person. What about
person.
Earl Campbell?
Earl, I think...
I mean, he had great careers, both
college
and
pro. My thing with Earl is I just don't think he had the numbers. You know, because he had a good freshman and sophomore year, but really his senior year was the year everyone talks about, 1,700 yards. He had 18 touchdowns, averaged 6.5 yards a carry that season. Like I said, he was, to me, more of a mystique guy. My dad was as big of an Earl Campbell fan as there is, mainly because of his time with the Oilers. But
I was going to say, that's part of one reason why a lot of people was because he played college ball in Texas, and then he also played his pro ball.
I played high school ball in Texas, and I admit I have some Texas bias because I grew up watching, not necessarily Longhorn bias, but Texas bias because I grew up seeing these guys more. But I was just, you can't tell me there were six guys, and yeah, those are six good guys, but you tell me there are six people better than Ricky Williams and Earl Campbell. I'm just not going to buy it. Anyway, so ask Kurt Bowles on Twitter where Ricky fell in the voting just to get 11th.
Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
Well, who was on? who won between those two?
Well, I didn't ask him. I think he mentioned Earl was in the conversation or whatever. But see, because Ricky Williams is so recent and then became, relatively late 90s, and then became like a dope smoking crazy person, I think like everyone forgets how good that guy was. But there was a couple years there where Ricky Williams was unbelievable.
You ask people.
Well, that's the thing.
In the SEC, and they would tell you the same thing about Herschel Walker.
See, I think Herschel's so long ago that everyone, he's just off the deep end of the legend of Herschel Walker. But I said, I'm not going to write to my congressman about it. But
look at the running backs, the six running backs. Who's the most recent?
Barry. Sanders, is he the most recent one on there?
Yeah.
Pretty easily he is. Well, he's a little after Dorsett.
Dorsett.
But yeah, well, he's certainly more recent than Bo Jackson and Doak Walker.
But you're talking no one in the last 25 years.
Yeah, that's why, and again, that's part of my thing here. I think
in people, college, that is.
Yeah, I think they look back and, But see, again, this is why my problem with leaving Ricky Williams off is if you're going with...
I guess Barry Sanders would be 20
And this
years.
Is also my problem with Vince Young not being more in the mix than he was, because Cart Bowles did say that he was about 6th or 7th on their conversations. If you're talking about Barry Sanders, then you're only talking about one season, because his first 2 years, he ran for 320 and 600 yards. So... yeah, he had his 1988 year. This is why he's on the team. Right. It's probably the best single year in the history of college football. 2,628 rushing yards. He had 37 touchdowns and averaged 7.6 yards per carry. But if you could get on there for that for 1 year, then Vince Young or Johnny or someone else could get on for 1 year.
That's a good point. I think part of that might I wonder how much influence.
Well, I don't know.
The guy's pro career did have in the college.
Yeah.
Because, I will say right now, Barry Sanders was, to me, the funnest, most enjoyable running back to watch.
Ever.
I'd watch the Lions just, whenever I could just to watch him.
Well, and he was kind of the Johnny Manziel of running backs, or Johnny Manziel was the Barry Sanders of quarterbacks, in that he would, run backwards sometimes. He didn't care.
Yeah.
He would take wild risks just because a lot of times it would work out. He'd end up 30 yards downfield. But
He figured he was going to get enough carries where, if this move worked once every three times, I'm going to score or something like that. And that's what was fun. But also the fact that he could make those moves. There's guys that couldn't make those moves if they knew they were going to do it to start off the run, let alone, when they had to because there's a defender in their way or something.
Yeah. But anyway, those are my two big bones to pick. Otherwise, putting these things together are hard.
Oh, yeah.
And there's lots of great guys. Can you go wrong with RT, Herschel, Dorsett, Barry Sanders, Doak Walker, and Bo Jackson? No. Those are some quality players there. But, no Earl and no Ricky, man. This is a little bit. There is an Aggie on the team.
Yeah. Which is?
The third string kicker, Tony Franklin, made it. So there you go. There's your one Aggie on there. By the way, a few texts. Someone said, Tebow, best career. Vince Young or Johnny football had the best single year. And I would argue that Johnny's single year was better than Vince Young's year they won the national title. It's just that Vince Young also had the year before when he was really good. The year they went to the Rose Bowl, and I forget who won the Heisman. Was it Reggie Bush or Matt Leiner? One of those guys won it. But they went to they had that wild game against Michigan where, clearly Michigan was the better team, but they couldn't stop Vince Young. They had that one. Let's see. Someone else texted. I'd say Tebow or Frazier. Tebow won two titles in completely different roles, was a very important player all 4 years. Great college player, maybe best of all time. Frazier has to be there. People forget how insanely dominant those Nebraska teams were. They just punked opponents. That's from Jack in Indianapolis. So,
well, yeah, and they got credit for that because if you go way back and you look at the line, they got Steinkuhler and Remington on there, and those two played together. I'm
and Shields
positive about that.
You talking about at Nebraska?
Yeah, Nebraska.
Yeah. They got Remington on the list, Shields on the list, and Steinkuhler all on the team as offensive linemen.
Yeah, three of the 15 offensive linemen from Nebraska.
And then they also have a newer
from
version.
Alabama.
Well, they have one of the more recent people on the list. In fact, he might be the most recent starter, and that's Ndamukong Suh. From Nebraska on the list also. He was the highest. As far as I can see, he's the most recent guy on the first team.
On the first team, yes.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Mason Crosby from Colorado made the team. In fact, he was right in front of Franklin.
Yeah.
And played for Colorado.
I like the
played
returns.
In the Big 12.
I also
played for Georgetown High School.
I like the return specialists. Johnny Rogers, also of Nebraska. The Rocket is on there, Krim. Raqib Ishmael from Notre Dame. And Derek Abney from Kentucky. But, like I said, no jealousy for having to put this thing together. But
you're right, though. Sue's the most recent on the first team. He might actually be the most recent, period.
Nebraska did lead the way with 6 players on the team. So, there you go. Well, yeah, he might be the most recent guy on there. There's not a lot of new guys. Roy Williams from Oklahoma is fairly recent.
There's a few others.
Yeah, I mean that he was like in the 2000s. Yeah. That's what I meant by fairly recent. Calvin Johnson, Georgia Tech, fairly recent. He's on there too. So there you go. That was my hard-hitting analysis of the day, Krim. The only one I really was just Roger Staubach. That's the only one that I was like, how did all these people vote and they settled on Roger Staubach as the best college quarterback ever? I don't know. Someone texted in, would you like to know why I believe we will beat Bama this year? Yeah.
Yeah.
I do
want to
know why. Hit us up. All right. We're going to go to break. We'll come back. We're going to talk a little. We'll talk a little jersey talk, and then the hoops schedule came out yesterday. Talking about that. A little SEC hoops. Talk when we come back, maybe. 229-1939. Hit us up. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. An investigation of an organized theft ring hitting stores at Post Oak Mall has resulted in 2 arrests. 32-year-old Guillermo Urbina and 50-year-old Iris Vail are accused of taking nearly $5,500 of clothing at the Sears store. According to the arrest report from College Station Police, the pair were seen in the store yesterday and detained by loss prevention employees. Video surveillance caught them taking 63 pairs of jeans last week and 56 shirts yesterday. A Bryan man who admitted to molesting 5 children for years is headed to prison for life without the chance of parole. 42-year-old Concepcion Hernandez Jr. pleaded guilty to the continuous sexual abuse of 3 family members under the age of 14. Brazos County Assistant District Attorney Ryan Calvert says that contact took place between 2007 and 2013.
These children literally are heroes, and as a result of their bravery, this guy will never get to harm anybody else again.
The 3 children testified during sentencing before a district court jury, along with 2 women who said they were abused by Hernandez when they were kids between 1995 and 2001. Hernandez asked for the minimum punishment of 25 years. Lightning strikes have been blamed for a refinery fire near Houston and an oil storage tank blaze along the Gulf of Mexico. Emergency responders say nobody was hurt in either fire yesterday as storms rolled through parts of Texas. CenterPoint Energy reported about 14,000 customers in the Houston area without electricity amid storms that could linger through today. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
It's time for Tailgater Truths, presented by Dish. Truth number 29. Game day without HD is like a tailgate without bacon-wrapped bacon with a side of bacon. With the Tailgater from Dish, you get mobile satellite TV and quarterback sacking HD. It sets up in 15 quick minutes or less and automatically connects to a satellite signal. So the only games you're playing are the ones you want to. Plus, there's no long-term contracts. You can pay as you go. Or add the Tailgater to your Dish home account for only $7 a month. So fire up the grill and the TV and start making tail greatness this season. Just be sure to use a napkin before touching that remote, Mr. Bacon Fingers. To learn more, visit dish.com/tailgate. Restrictions include prepayment of all monthly and one-time fees.
Hot is here. What did you expect in the Brazos Valley in August? But Rattlers has great food and drink specials to fill you up and quench your thirst. Check out these great specials. Jimmy Dean Blazing Hot Sandwich and any size fountain drink or coffee, only $2. Or a fully loaded ballpark hot dog, only $1 with your registered Rattlers Rewards card. Be sure to stop by after work for an 18-pack of ice-cold beer from the fine families of beer from Bud, Miller, and Coors, only $15.99. Rattlers. Friendly, clean, Texan.
Every driver has met that guy. You know, the guy who cuts people off and doesn't care what anyone else thinks. That guy who refuses to come to a complete stop at a stop sign because he always comes first. If you've never met that guy, think about it. Maybe it's because you are that guy.
Aggressive drivers, they aren't just rude. They can be deadly. Be safe. Drive smart. This message sponsored by TxDOT.
Your home for Fighting Texas Aggie football. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Base.
Dreams of passion in all the while I think of you.
Welcome back.
Reaction. The more I see, the more I do. Baby.
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroom, hanging out. By the way, I forgot to mention this a while ago. Under my new rule I established earlier this year, the umpires for last night's game would not have been paid. The Astros successfully challenged three calls.
Wasn't it the same umpire each time, I'd heard?
No. Well,
it wasn't.
Ooh,
I thought it was. Or at least the first two were.
Two of the plays were at first base.
Yeah.
I can't remember where the third one was. I think the other one happened.
But the first two I know were the same. Was the same umpire.
Yeah, well, that's my new thing. If you get three challenges overturned in the same game, that crew doesn't get paid. So the crew last night should not have been paid under the new Bloom rule.
Give the money to the guys up in the booth.
Yeah. By the way, so we've been talking lately about what exactly A&M's going to be wearing in their first game. And there had been some talk that maybe A&M was going to be the light-colored team. And I had read that somewhere. I forget somewhere someone had the contract for the game. And they had said that A&M was going to be in light and Arizona State was going to be in dark. But Arizona State unveiled their new jerseys yesterday for the game, and they are certainly not going to be in dark. They're white and copper. I don't know, something about copper in Arizona. There's copper mines. Do you mine copper? Do you make copper? I don't know how copper works. But they got that going on. So A&M will be presumably in maroon. I guess we'll find out when we get there. But they will be in dark jerseys of some kind. So we found that out today/yesterday evening, Kroom. So I know that's big news for you. You're a big jersey guy.
Yeah, because that matters so much.
Yeah. By the way, the guy that goes, "Do you want to know why I believe we'll beat Bama this year?" sent us why. And I got to say, it's pretty good logic here.
We've brought up a couple of reasons we think they have a chance.
He goes, because this is the first year Chief will play Kiffin with an offense that can score more than 17 points a game. Chief will bring hellfire and blitzes like Kiffin has never seen, and Chief will laugh. And I think he probably meant to put Kiffin again, but his phone corrected it to Kitten, which is hilarious either way. So he says, and Chief will laugh in Kitten's face and say, thanks for firing me from Tennessee. So, there you go. That's the reason why. I buy it. Why not?
I guess we'd have to look to see how Chief did against Kiffin last year.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, it was a second base was the third call.
Oh, so just got another text on that one.
Yeah, different ump, apparently.
That's good.
Yeah, I buy it. I don't know.
I still think the biggest reason is the scheduling.
Yeah. The biggest reason is they got to play Arkansas before.
Yeah.
And I saw,
A&M doesn't have to play anybody.
There was someone had linked.
And A&M's at home.
I mean, I should write these things down, but someone had linked a story that linked a story that linked a story talking about that someone a while back. Oh, it was Stuart Mandel who did research on, or he had read someone's research on the, does the bye week actually help? And they said, like, no, not really, like, based on history, except in the case of where an underdog team is coming off a bye week against a favorite that isn't. But I'm like, well, that fits the situation exactly, so I guess that still applies. So that was their findings there on that. I forget what website it was, but they had done the research and all that.
I saw that story, and one of the Arizona teams was one of the big benefits. Fisheries of a bye week. They like went 5-1 after the bye week.
Well, A&M had like the opposite last year. It seemed like everyone they played was off a bye week or off a weak opponent. But can't complain about that this year. Let's see what else we got going on. SEC basketball schedule came out last night. If there was ever a year for season tickets, Kroom, Aggie basketball, the home slate, we already knew Baylor, K-State, Iowa State, also includes Kentucky, Florida, LSU, Arkansas, and Vandy. Now, it'll include LSU and Arkansas every year, but Kentucky, Florida, Vandy also coming in, who are probably...
You're looking at the top five teams in SEC coming here.
Yeah. Maybe the top... five of the top six, the sixth being A&M.
A&M, yeah.
Yeah, so that's... And then, two of the top four teams in the Big 12, depending on where you think. K-State's probably the bottom end of that conference, but Baylor and Iowa State should be top 3, 4, 5 in the Big 12 this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, so, what about Texas? I mean, I don't know.
Well, they don't come here.
Oh, that's right. They don't come here.
Yeah. But they didn't. There is one stretch.
They don't even come
though.
Close to here.
No. They're not even on the same, landmass. But there is an interesting stretch in there that you don't notice at first glance because you kind of forget how the schedule's laid out. And this is going to be the make or break part of the year because this is going to be the stretch that makes or breaks it, Kroom. Coming out of these three games, we'll either know A&M's probably going to the tournament or they have no chance. They go at Arkansas. Then they return home to play Iowa State, and then they go to Vandy the next game. That'll probably do it. That's going to be the heart of the schedule right there. Because they've got to find a way to win two of those.
Ooh, I don't know. Because of the fact that two of those are on the road.
Not to squeeze in, but if they're going to be as good as...
Yeah.
If they're going to be ranked, they got to find a way to win two of those. Probably.
I like to think they're better than Arkansas this year. Because Arkansas lost a lot.
Right, they should be better than Arkansas. That's kind of why I say that.
Right.
So, but anything
the,
stick
at,
out?
At Vandy, and remember, when you go to Vandy, that's...
That bizarro court. I also said that
A&M will have four freshmen looking at, what is this?
Yeah, how do we check in? We've never played in a spaceship before.
Where do I go when we call timeout? I don't know.
Yeah, and the the other thing about the schedule that I was laughing when I saw it yesterday, because it has all the games slated for TV already. If A&M falls apart this year, the whole world is going to see it. They have eight games on ESPN.
Right.
Yeah, if they fall apart, there's not going to be no hiding it from the masses this year. So
yeah, they're getting plenty of pub.
But if they're going to be good, then they're going to be all over the place. So there's plenty of chance to make noise this year. Let's see. He texted back. Said Bama beat LSU last year, 2013, in OT.
Oh, so he... Chief held him down.
He said, see, I know it's going to happen, and I meant kitten, no typo.
Oh.
So he meant kitten. I like that. Kitten, Kiffin? I've never heard that.
Yeah, no.
But
not a big Kiffin fan. I just don't understand how he's
love him.
How he's made it to where he's made it, because
I think that's why I like him.
Things just seem to...
Yeah.
Last year was the first time he's had a year where something good happened under him.
Yeah.
And even then, for Alabama... It wasn't something good because they didn't, make the championship game and
they'll
win it.
Yeah, well, then some people blame him for going, too up-tempo and not giving the defense, all that kind of stuff. I forgot that Bama went to OT with LSU last year. How did that happen? Man, weird stuff happens in college football, Kroom. Anyway, a few things there. We got to go to break. Let's come back. We'll get you with a little Today in Aggie History when we come back. And we'll keep getting your texts. Keep texting us, 229-1939. What do y'all... want to talk about. Let's keep hearing it. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Hi, Gabe Bach here from Texags Radio, and if you're not currently a premium or varsity level subscriber to texags.com, what are you waiting for? Texags.com is the inside source for all things Aggie sports, the leaders in breaking news coverage, in-depth analysis, recruiting scoop, and more. Whether it's exclusive long-form interviews with Aggie players and coaches or inside on the next big recruit on his way to Aggieland, nobody covers A&M like Texags. Jump on board now, and don't miss out on the very best in A&M sports coverage. It's texags.com.
Sweating through another barn burner at your team's bar?
Sure am.
Wish you had some ice-cold refreshment?
You bet.
Then Coors Light may be right for you. Could result in meeting new people, epic fist bumps, epic forearm bumps, epic or chest bumps, touchdown dancing, breakdancing, line dancing, dancing like nobody's watching, awesome refreshment, refreshment for the win, and one-of-a-kind Rocky Mountain cold refreshment. Ask your bartender for Coors Light today.
Definitely.
When cold refreshment calls, Coors Light answers. Frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Okay, voice of my car, please program the location coordinates for my new job interview.
I cannot comply with that request.
Did you say no?
You don't want to drive that far to work. It makes you cranky.
I don't get cranky.
I recommend AggielandHelpWanted.com.
My car is giving me career advice?
It's free, and uploading your resume is faster and easier than ever. You will find hundreds of great local jobs within easy driving distance.
Okay, fine. I'll do it.
Have I ever steered you wrong?
Well, technically, I do the steering.
Ha ha ha. Easy to use and easy to apply. AggielandHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Texans are teaming up to reduce teen pregnancy.
We're teaming up by starting the conversation.
We're teaming up to educate our community.
We're teaming up to mobilize a coalition.
When it comes to reducing teen pregnancy in our communities,
we're teaming up to make a difference.
OurTownForTeens.org is helping communities all over Texas reduce teen pregnancy by putting the resources you need at your fingertips. OurTownForTeens.org. Team up. We can do this.
Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
Each Wednesday evening, grab a friend and grab your clubs and head out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course.
It's the Zone Shootout.
It's a two-person, nine-hole shotgun start scramble tournament with prizes for net, gross, and skins.
Prizes for net, gross, and skins.
Make sure to register your team by 3 o'clock day up. And the cost is only $28. For more info or to check out the weekly winners, visit the events tab at zone1150.com. Grab a friend and grab your clubs and head out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course.
It's the Zone Shootout.
Visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
Tonight on the Flurry Mic, you're about to hear, we swear, the best star rappers of the year. So, cheering up, yell, scream, bravo. Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.
Welcome back. Bloom and Croom. Angry Rant Hour. We haven't had as many angry rants.
Not as much as yesterday, no. You were on a roll yesterday.
Yeah, maybe y'all have an angry rant. Hit us up, 229-1939, and we'll rant about your rant. Or maybe we'll tell you your rant is right. You know, we're equal opportunity ranters.
Yeah, that you should be ranting.
Yeah. There's lots of things to rant about, like this weather. It's kind of in between.
What's wrong with the weather?
I don't like the in-between. Rain or don't. I don't like it hanging around. Although
I just kind of like the idea that it's not 100 degrees.
It is not. It does feel pretty good. I went outside this morning and I was kind of freaked out. It was a little bit like, do you remember the bizarro cold front we had for the Florida game in 2012? The A&M's first home game of the SEC and all that kind of stuff. This bizarre, like, unseasonal cold front came through the night before. Because I remember getting up, and by the time the game started, it was like in the upper 80s.
But yeah, I was going to say, if I remember right, Florida was on the ground.
Yeah, they were faking like cramps. And then... Yeah. They had, and you could tell that they had already planned on talking about the heat because they went down to Holly Rowe or whoever it was on the field, and she was like, "Yeah, the heat could play a factor, but it was like 88 you know, in late September or early September. Like, that's about as good as it's going to get. But when we first got up, and I'm the only reason I remember this is a friend of mine, we got up really early to set up the tailgate, and I was helping my friend set up their tailgate back then, and it was like in the high 50s. It was chilly that morning. But that's kind of how it was this morning. I got up, went outside, and I was
high 50s is chilly.
It is for the first week of September.
What was it? First of all, it wasn't the first week of September, was it?
Yeah, well, it was the first
close.
Game
yeah,
of the year.
Florida here. Yeah, yeah, well, it was actually not. It wasn't supposed to be the first game of the
right,
year.
Well, that's why
it
I
was
think,
middle September, yeah.
I think it was the first week of September. It was either the last week of August or the first week of September. But yeah, it was like bizarrely cool that morning. 50s is chilly, Krim. Yeah, 50s is chilly. Mid-50s to upper 40s is chilly.
Right.
Upper, like, 40s to upper 30s
upper
is cold.
Upper 50s is not chilly.
Yeah, it's chilly. It's a bit of a chill. 56, chilly. 57, fringing on chilly. Anyway.
It's not wet or cold. Man, high 50s, low 60s are phenomenal.
Nah, I'm a high 60s guy. I love the high 60s. Let's hit the people a little today in Aggie history, Krim.
Do it.
And now, today in Aggie history.
All right, we have two birthdays. Former A&M president David Willard Williams was born. He was the A&M president in 56 and 57, so he oversaw a Heisman Trophy winning season, Krim. And he was also the chairman of the Faculty Athletic Council. There you go. He became an associate professor in the Animal Husbandry Department at A&M in 1919. He was the department head in 22 until 46, served in World War II as a lieutenant colonel in the Army, stationed in Europe. He was the first vice president for agriculture in the A&M University system, and then 48 became the vice chancellor for agriculture until 58. So there you go. Also born on this day, by the way, that was August 20th, 1892 was his birthday. Slightly more recently, August 20th, 1907, former Texas A&M baseball player and coach Roy C. Bo Bell was born. There you go. Coached from 51 to 58 and was the school's first All-American when he played. So there you go. Played professionally for the St. Louis Browns, Detroit Tigers, Cleveland Indians. There you go, Krim. You didn't know that, did you?
No, I did not know either of those.
He also is one of the few people to be an Aggie and appear in the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes it a little more interesting.
Not very many of those. By the way, someone said, I'm arguing with a sip at work now, and he is predicting that Texas, well, he said to you, will come in second in the Big 12.
He's talking about basketball or football?
Well, I hope he's talking likely? Neither one of those. I guess basketball
I would say basketball is more likely.
It's more likely, but it's still not very likely. No, they have no chance of finishing second. So...